Good morning, friends. First and foremost, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to listen to this message brought by Firm Foundation Christian Church. And today's sermon will be a Palm Sunday sermon, which will be taken from the Gospel account of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verse 38 will be our sermon text. It reads, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So this morning we will examine the triumphal entry of Jesus into the holy city of Jerusalem. This would take place at the beginning of the Passover festival, which lasted 8 days once a year. The Passover festival commemorates the exodus of the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage. It's a celebration of their liberation from the slavery from the Egyptians. This visit by Jesus would end up being his last major public appearance before his crucifixion. Now, Jesus has been to Jerusalem other times, which are recorded in the Bible. However, this time would be different. Jesus didn't come to worship, but he arrived as king, that the prophecy would be fulfilled. Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5 read, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So yes, Jesus came and he fulfilled a prophecy. So I want to begin my reading about the triumphal entry of Jesus, beginning in verse 28, and we will continue until verse 42. It reads, "When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, and saying, If you had known, even you, especially in your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Friends, sharing the gospel message with others is for all times of the year. But Easter season has a special significance to it because its focus is on Jesus' work on the cross in his resurrection. It's magnified. So praise God. Praise God at all times of the year, but this time especially. So friends, whoever has ears to hear, stir up a conversation with others about Jesus. Be a soul winner. It's part of Jesus' great commission for all believers that we shout from the rooftops, that we praise your name to anyone, to anywhere, anytime. Do whatever. Get the word out. Spread the good news. Pass out a tract. When people ask, how you doing? Say, I'm blessed. It's a perfect opening to speak about Jesus. So again, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. James 5, 19 and 20 reads, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So friends, let's begin examining the response of all the people involved in this wonderful event, the triumphal entry. But first and foremost, I pose one question for you to consider. Has Jesus made a triumphal entry into your heart as King who comes in the name of the Lord? Consider it, my friend. So the first response recorded is that Jesus is proclaimed as King. Verse 37 reads, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. So that's the first response, that Jesus is proclaimed. Friends, if Jesus made his triumphal entry into your heart, you should feel an overwhelming sense of gladness as well. You should feel that rejoice. You should be glad over the hope that you have because of Jesus, your King, your Lord, your God, and Savior. And you should be able to relate to wonderful verses such as this. Let me take you to Isaiah 25, verse 9. It reads, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Again, we can rejoice because God, who was born of a virgin, came in the flesh and has given sinners a hope, a living hope, which can only be found in Christ. Here's another verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Unlike other religions, Christianity is based on the resurrection of Jesus. We have a God who lived, who died, and rose again from the grave for us. We have a God who loves like no other. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus took our place. He took the punishment that we deserve. Let us remain faithful to the Lord. He's the one who made us right in God's eyes, not ourselves. Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5 reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So that day, a multitude of people, they praised God for all the works that they had seen. And this should apply to present day believers as well. Forget not all his benefits. Forget not his work that he did on the cross on our behalf. Forget that he is with us daily. Forget not his benefits. Forget not the benefit of his love and his mercy and his grace, which we do not deserve. The second response recorded is opposition towards the king. And this is taken from verse 39. And it reads, "And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" To rebuke means to express a sharp disapproval. Perhaps you may have experienced this type of opposition because of your love for the king. Friends, people have rejected God from the beginning. The response to Jesus is due to either spiritual ignorance or unresponsiveness, or simply just pride, the pride of life. But whatever it is, the result is tragic. It's a neglect of salvation. It's our greatest need as humans. Salvation is only found in one name, the name above all names, Jesus. Our King, he must be praised despite the opposition. That's what Jesus' disciples did as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was honored. Yet the Pharisees took offense to him, just as people do today. Let me take it to Isaiah 40, verses 21 and 22. And it reads, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth." So again, Jesus is the one to be proclaimed. Jesus is the light onto this lost and dark dying world. John 1 verses 9 through 11 read, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Sadly, that happens so much today. When we're out on the streets speaking about Jesus, there are so many that just raise their hands to us, turn us away. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting him. They're rejecting the message of hope. Jesus says, they hated me without cause. And that is so true. What did Jesus ever do to anyone for them to hate him? You know, when Jesus was handed over to Pontius Pilate, Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no fault in this man. So friends, despite the opposition, dust off your feet and press on. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And that's taken from John 15, verses 18 through 22. The third and final response to this event is from Jesus. Jesus weeps. Let me take you to that verse. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. So yes, there were people that may have rejected Jesus on that triumphal day. Or again, there are many that may have received Jesus half-heartedly as king. But because their expectations were not met about Jesus, later that week, they yelled, crucify him. They rejected him. And that happens today too. Sadly, there are many that blow the opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord, God, and Savior. And Jesus weeps over that opportunity. He is probably looking at that city, looking at all those people and saying, all these, a lot of these lost souls here are going to reject me. And it's sad because God did everything for us. Again, Jesus came in the flesh for us. He sacrificed himself for us and he died and he rose on the third day for us. He took our sins and washed them away with his blood. This was no small task. As a matter of fact, this is the only task that anyone no one could complete. Let me just say, no one could complete but Jesus. Because he was the only one without sin. He did all the work for us. We're on his back. He's not on ours. We are on his back. And he did it out of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, I urge you to place your trust and faith in Jesus His work, His promises, His life, death, and resurrection. Faith is the only requirement for salvation. Not doing, but believing. That whoever believes in Him will be saved. Now friends, God doesn't expect us to believe naively. God expects us to really think things through. To search the scriptures to see if these things are true. That's why I rejoice in my heart when I can give a track to someone. Give a track to the hearer. To show them that it's not my words, but it's the words of God. So again, God is encouraging us to read His Word. Let me take you to Acts 17:11. It reads, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Isaiah 1:18 reads, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord." So again, friends, let His words strengthen your faith. Not my words, His words. Hebrews 11:6 reads, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." There it is again. He's encouraging us to dig into His Word diligently, to seek Him, to draw near to Him. Again, friends, Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So friends, I urge you to realize Jesus is precious. Don't throw away the opportunity to receive Him. He loves you. His arms are spread out waiting for you to come to Him. John 3:17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God doesn't want anyone to perish in hell. His perfect will is that all go to His heavenly kingdom. He did what was best for our eternal peace. He died for you and I. But He rose for you and I, giving us that living hope and assurance that what He said, that what He promised is true. But God's permissive will allows you to choose. He will not force it upon you. So I leave you with this last scripture verse. John 3:36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Let's go before the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your word, which is a light to my feet, which is so encouraging, which reveals your love, which reveals your Son, yourself, your ways, which cannot be duplicated by any worldly religion. Father, thank you for the triumphal entry. The triumphal entry Thank you for the lessons learned from this event. Thank you for the responses that we can take from it. That as a believer, I just want to praise you daily with my life. I rejoice in you. I pray that despite the problems that arise in this world, that we can always lay on you. That we can always remain focused on you. That you are the overcomer of this world. Your son, what he did to overcome this lost and dark dying world. That he overcame the grave. Thank you, Father, for helping us despite the opposition that may fall on us. That when we preach your name, yes, we will hear opposition. But thank you for, through the Holy Spirit that you have given us, that lives within us, that helps us discern the thought of others, and helps us give a greater understanding to those who need, to the hearer. We praise you, Father. We thank you. So, Father, again, I thank you for what you have done on our behalf through your Son. I thank you for the living hope that you have given us. I thank you for the heavenly inheritance that we will receive. I thank you for the rewards that we will receive. I thank you for your help and guidance walking through this dark life, through these trying times. I thank you for your love and protection that you continue to give us despite at times when we fall short of your glory. That you are always there for us regardless. That your love never fails. All this I pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.